I'll
You
take
should
this
know by
one.
now. Different one. Oh, Carl's not even here yet. So, what's the Ron? What'd you do with the coast? Oh, here we are. I see. Yeah, he's the right one. That can be stained. Put my drink if it gets dry.
Yep, gotta have it.
Been sloppy too. She's gonna help.
She wants to keep the door. She's in there.
He probably could use a little napkin. Why did I come here? So maybe every other Tuesday.
Daddy, he's working.
They make me come every other Tuesday.
Ask him why he's got that mask.
Why ask him why I have a mask? Because I'm afraid of COVID.
I saw they had that monkeypox.
Yeah, there you go. That's all I need. That's monkeypox. And
yeah,
I saw a special today on Super Doggers on Inside Edition. People that's never gotten COVID. Yeah, see, I didn't get my pay. I just kept.
No, you probably have already had a phone.
You think so? I don't know. Maybe.
What are the odds that you have?
I tell you one thing, I had a sore throat the whole month of March. I couldn't get rid of it. I went to the doctor finally. I said, give me a test. They tested me negative.
They kids weren't around us, so they never showed any symptoms. I'm sure the doctor said they more than likely had it.
I'm not sure. Hey,
sorry, good doctor. I accidentally.
Yeah, she's going to do the Pledge of Allegiance tonight.
What do you, how does it, what's the first word? You don't have to be shy, everybody here's nice. Her name's Lou.
Yeah.
She knows someone.
We can't wait to do this.
You weren't just calling for the
safety belt, Lou.
Did you do safety though? Did you get to see Buckle Bear?
Who else did you say?
Hey, who else? Did you see McGraw? Buckle Bear, I love Buckle Bear.
What's the Eagles name?
Do you remember the song?
Yeah, tell
do you
them.
Know who used to do? Do you know who used to do the safety though? I did safety though.
Wow,
I was a police officer.
Whoa.
And I used to do Buckle Bear. He used to sit on my lap. And you know what he used to do? He used to fall asleep. Did Buckle Bear fall asleep with you guys too? And did you have to wake him up? Did you count for him? Wake up, Buckle Bear! And did you learn to look left, right, left when you went across the street? And did you use your head to guide your feet?
You stop your running.
Oh, silly things! Oh, my goodness!
What do you do if you see a gun?
Stop. Don't touch.
Yeah.
That's right, and you run. And go to tell an adult.
She remembers all of it.
Yeah, I did it for about 10
minutes.
It was.
Yeah,
and I went to take my kids.
You did 2 years away.
And back to Ruth Terry, who is our park ranger now, she started doing safety bell when she could have been only 2 years out of it.
Yeah.
And donated the first time. So, and then all my kids did it.
Yeah, she loved it.
And it's like, so yeah, all my kids volunteered for a bow.
Did put in for the 12 years?
Yeah. I hope she volunteers when she gets older.
Yeah, and it is so
much fun. I did check for that. This is almost a few.
Oh, yeah.
Was it? I was surprised.
I'm sorry. But he took me on a time and I said, I'm going to absorb two more inhalers today. So I'm not feeling that lovely right now. Yeah. I was just going to.
Yeah.
And I have pictures of everything that we have so far.
How's the county door? Hello. How are you?
Sir, how are you?
Good.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, he's a little scared.
Yeah, he is. I knew my eyesight's not that great anymore. That's for her.
Do we have one?
I don't know. It's Chris joining us online, or is he?
He said he can't make it.
You didn't forget that I did this?
No.
Okay. I've been looking forward to it. I'm the one who prefer that wire. That's it. I've been looking forward to hearing this.
You guys.
Here. Hello.
That's your mic over there.
Hello.
Over there. That's your mic. Yeah. Really tap it. Make sure it's working. Yes.
No, it's not working.
It should be. When you tap it.
Okay.
Okay.
I need a pen. I'm
not married tonight. No. Stemmel from the University of Delaware.
I need to bring more. And I didn't bring my readers. So.
Oh, you didn't bring readers? I got them along. You know what? I could actually read better without my glasses on.
They were on my head.
I'm decent far away. I need decent far away.
So if I ask something, it's because I can't see it.
I went to the eye doctor. Oh, did you? She's
like, well, you
can get split.
Yeah, the you half and half. Yeah.
I do that. My contacts, they're not proficient yet do that. I mean, they're okay for the astigmatism, but right. They said it's a 50-50 shot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to spend that. So I'll just get by my $1 reader.
I still have my contacts, but I wear them very rarely when I go crabbing. I don't need my glasses ever into the water.
So I still have
it. I'm getting so old, you know, like.
I forget them when I'm over at the restaurant. I borrow people.
Yeah, I'll tell you, get anything else in your eye whatsoever. It's just
Brian's gone.
It's crazy.
Can you hear me okay out there? Test, test, test.
The speaker's right behind you.
Oh, yeah.
I can turn it down.
Yes. No,
is that really loud? You guys are just not. I think it's close. It's just
the acoustics in here.
Are
good.
Yeah. Hello. So what purchase?
Next week, I'm going to be at the office every day, but I really won't be available. Okay. So if you need something, you can. Text me and I can do things in between things.
That Red Toe Connections.
What would you call the Red Toe Connections music? Is it rock and roll?
Big rockabilly.
Rockabilly?
Yeah, rockabilly. Yeah. They have a banjo, but they also do a lot of things.
Do you want to ask them if it does rain and they want to play the national anthem?
What do you think? Well, it's been supposed to rain all week, and
it hasn't really done much.
I'm just thinking of a
as a backup.
As a backup.
Do you have a rain date?
No, we don't. We could ask.
That'd be nice. That'd be a little good touch for the rest of it. You know, what's going on?
Or just
we all are going to be.
Oh, yeah, don't forget your hot dogs.
What's the hot dogs?
You're cooking hot dogs on Tuesday.
I know, you're supposed to call and come Monday.
I'll be here Tuesday, but like I said, I'm going to be moderating training, so I will be
flying out. What time does it
start? Six.
Did you sign the proclamation?
Yes.
Everybody
got it. Okay. I just have to have one. It looks a little bit
weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I forgot my readers, so. You're going to
struggle.
I don't know why they're not on my head anymore. I put them there before I go out of the house.
Almost. If I can see you. Sweet.
Okay.
Yeah. I can see now.
Thank you, sir.
Hashtag not getting old.
Okay. All right. It's 6 o'clock on July 26, 2022. We'll call the Town of Charlestown Town Commissioners meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the proclamation.
And I do believe that we have a special reading this evening by a Miss Caroline Lockhart.
Do you want me
to go up with you? Ready? Go ahead. Start.
I, to the United States of America. And to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you, Caroline.
With that wonderful reading, we have a proclamation here signed by the town commissioners for the town of Charlestown. And it's to extend the warmest congratulations to Caroline Lockhart. You can justly be proud of your leadership in presenting the Pledge of Allegiance at the Town Commissioner meeting scheduled on July 26, 2022. The commissioners and the people of Charlestown sincerely appreciate your leadership in presenting the Pledge of Allegiance. For these very reasons, we extend our best and sincerest wishes on this very special day, presented on this 26th day of July. 26, 2022. So we're gonna finish signing this and we're gonna get it framed for you. So it's commemoration of this particular day. Thank you so much, Caroline. We really appreciate it. I'll say that Caroline is Commissioner Fields. Thank you so much, Caroline.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you, guys.
You can stay for the rest of the day. Thanks, Caroline.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Caroline.
No, thank you. That's wonderful. All right. First item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for July 12th, 2022.
A motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
We have a motion to approve by Commissioner Pano and a second by Commissioner Fields. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good. Next on the agenda is the accounts payable review.
I see the fact that there was a check that was lost in the mail. Is there any way that we can possibly start sending more electronic, or do people not, some of the companies not?
We could ask. Because mail has been a problem, a little bit of a problem lately, as of late.
It's a thought that we start, we might look into, because we don't want our vendors to get upset because things get lost in the mail.
Nope.
So
the alternative is to come here and pick it up. But yeah, electronic delivery is an idea to explore.
Because I know we do, what, the electric bills are all there now. And so, and with most... I mean, this is still showing what we're doing, but it might be easier to
maybe.
And if need to, for the stub, we can possibly email that to the vendor too. So it's a thought.
I mean, I don't think the board has any problems for recurring payments, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Direct payments.
Yeah.
Actually, so like the one that was just reissued, that's one that we're writing quite often.
It's not, I can tell you it's not the same amount.
Curie's a little bit of problem.
For I'm sorry, we even have microphones. We even have microphones.
Thank you.
So in regards to the accounts payable, any questions?
First, so what we were saying is that we're.
I heard that.
Okay.
It's going to be a few minutes.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the accounts payable in the amount of $48,052.05.
Hang on, Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
It's $48,088.05. Is okay, that correct?
No.
With the grand
with
total?
With the we're reissuing, so at the bottom is the.
Okay.
So let's back up here. The amount showing on the accounts payable total was $48,052.05
plus the reissue of the $33,708.
But that's already been approved.
That was approved previously.
So we're only approving.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
So
you were right. You had the right amount.
We have a motion.
I make a motion that we accept the accounts payable in the amount of $48,052.05.
So we have a motion by Treasurer Fields and a second by Commissioner Woods. All in favor of approval of the accounts payable, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next item on the agenda is the. Is there something you want to add on the table? Mm-hmm. Is the anti-harassment policy revision by Commissioner Fennell?
After going back and forth many, many times with Legit, which is local government insurance trust, that's our insurance agent, our insurance company. And then we also put it through to Bestie, the town attorney. I apologize that I did not do a final alignment on this yet. For the most part, it is okay. I just want to make sure, like if words were changed to third party is consistent through it. But the gist of it is here. Mm-hmm. And this does work for employees as well as commissioners and appointed boards. And it's up to date on
the one change that I was going to suggest was that, you know, it has a list of definitions and it has the definition of discrimination, or I'm sorry, the definition of harassment. And it never really defines like general harassment. It basically says, you know, it basically tackles harassment and defines it in regards to a discriminatory harassment. Anyway, I just wanted to add in there just a general provision in there that basically stated that harassment is, of course, a conduct directed at a specific person that causes substantial emotional distress in such a person and serves no legitimate purpose, which includes but is not limited to. And that's when you go right in. And I'm on, okay, I'm sorry, that's page 3D. And all I want to do is add that brief sentence up front. And then we would say, which includes, but is not limited to, and then go right into that harassment based on actual perceived race, color, religious, and so forth, because there's no real definition of harassment in that. Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely incredible.
I know, but I'm just saying. With that amendment, I think it's fine. It applies to, just so everybody knows, it applies to employees and elected officials as well.
And appointed boards,
and it sets forward a specific procedure that in the event that harassment occurs, what steps are being taken and that it would be investigated and then taken to report to the commissioners. Otherwise, it's essentially kept confidential and so forth. So it's real nice and something that's been lacking for the town. So.
And this is more of an update than what was mm-hmm. previously done. And it went through all of the legalese people that are for the town, But yeah, we can add that. And the other thing is there will be yearly training that we all have to take, which our Legit is offering. It is free to all of us. And it's virtual. You can take it.
So perhaps with that addition, do we have a motion?
You make a motion.
I motion to accept the Town of Charlestown anti-discrimination and harassment policy with the amendment that Carl has mentioned.
Second. All in favor of approval of the anti-discrimination and harassment policy, say aye.
Aye.
Very good. No nays. Anti-harassment policy is passed.
Now that we have that, we can start doing more on the updating of the employee handbook. I was kind of waiting to see where this went, so now I know more of the wording that they're looking for.
All right, next item on the agenda is town hall renovations. Right.
So if you all remember, we had a solicitation for the design of the renovation and addition of the town hall. We received three price quotes. One of the firms was a little bit of an outlier, so we decided to negotiate further with the two remaining firms and get a little bit more specific on exactly what items we were looking for at this stage of the game. I think we had discussed not moving forward with construction at this time. So the need for supervising construction activities didn't exist any longer. So basically the refinement was to provide a price quote just for design and building plans, a site plan, and two other items as extras, a geotechnical report, which factors into the design of the foundation, and then also a hazardous materials investigation of the existing building. So of the two companies that gave us a proposal this time around, I think the first one here, I didn't add up the total. Let me come up. For all those four elements, building plan, site plan, geotechnical, and hazardous materials. 2-6. I'm going to do the math here.
89-ish.
89-6. It's $89,600 was Keeperson. And Home Partnership was nice and gave us a total right there on the front of their bid. A range of 96,000 to 105,000. And that was the reason they gave us a range was for project management, initial planning, and project design fees. They weren't sure the total number of hours that would be needed. So the range there is just dependent upon the actual hours worked. That was the estimated range provided.
But it seems to me they broke theirs down quite sufficiently for us. And I don't
know. So again, the purpose of this primarily is to come up with finalized plans for the town hall, essentially a new or modified town hall, including this particular structure, and then an add-on, and to encompass the administrative area, with this primarily being the meeting room, including this room and the post office, and so forth. And it includes everything from, you know, the initial design, but then even public periods of public comment and so forth, so that we can all gather as a community, get input and so forth. And then once we kind of solidify as to what it's going to look at, it'll also come up with the complete package with electrical and plumbing, and also the cost of, the estimates on cost of construction as well. So it gets us to the point where essentially that we're ready to put it out for bid for actual construction.
Are we allowed to talk now or not?
Well, we're going to have a period of public comment before we vote on this. Any of the commissioners have anything they want to comment on, or you guys?
I think everybody pretty much knows. I brought Hodges to the board, and I like what I've seen him do. I like the way he has broke his proposal down. And I think if we can go and we can see what they have done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the other ones at all. So.
Brian, which was the first one? Which was the second one?
Cooper? Cooperson was the first one. Described.
At 89.6.
And Hodges was the second one.
Yeah, Home Partnership. Frank Hodges works for Home Partnership.
Between 96 and 105,000.
Are these pictures that you sent us, is that what's in here? I was working up until I came here, so I didn't open this up.
I have it here. Cooperson just provided examples of projects they've done in the past, that's all.
Was that an email?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a PDF in the email, but I have their printed out copy. Let me see that.
Okay. I think I have seen that.
You want to open it up?
Did any partnership? I mean, I'm personally kind of leaning toward Cooper's. Associates, right? I mean,
Brian, who do you like?
I think I'd lean toward Cooperson.
I know Frank, I mean, in regards to Frank, I think they do real nice work as well, and I think that they're going to be using.
I like them is because I've seen their work. Yeah. I've seen Stapleton, I've seen Elkin, and their work is beyond their work. I've not seen the other gentleman's work, in person.
Right. They do have quite a few.
Yeah. But I'm saying not in person. I can't drive them. These guys I have. I can go to Cecilton. I can see it.
I haven't seen them do the administrative type side buildings. And like I said, I really do. I still want to tackle them for the other housing aspect, senior housing projects. But anyway, I mean, I don't know. I know it's $20,000, which in the scheme of things. May or may not be a lot of money, but it's still a fair amount of money. I think he says do a fair job. But should we open it? I'd like to open it up for public because it is a lot of money and it's a big contract. And I think we need to hear from the public on this before we
go ahead and
make a decision. So, Brian, you want to just hold it?
You want to go through Zoom first or you want people here in the room? Mr. Taylor, you have anything? Audrey, you have any comment? Sorry, do you have any comment on the town hall renovation? Ms. Pamela?
Were there schedules with each company? Are they following the same timeline or just are each company different?
There was no schedule requirement. So I don't believe either one spelled out a timeline.
But we haven't got the contracts.
Right. In. I was just kind of curious of what, you know, what
mm-hmm.
either company, whatever we choose, is there a
Well, I can tell you our RFP had a deadline. We wanted these designs and building plans ready by January of 23. So presumably they would be operating within that the same schedule. Mm-hmm. Ms. Ursula?
Did they give you, they give you all these particulars, did they give you a design?
No. No, in fact,
this is strictly...
You know, what's funny, this was strictly what we want the deliverable is building plans and a site plan. And when I asked all three of the original vendors who applied, only one provided a design, and it was just kind of fun. The other two said, we would never do that. The two finalists that we're talking about tonight, we would never give you a design up front because we want to talk to you guys first and figure out what you want and what you need and what you have.
I hate to be, it seems backwards to me. I would think that if you knew some idea of what you wanted, do you want colonial? Do you want modern? Do you want, what do you want? What's in your brains that they can go in that direction?
And what they do, their first step.
So change your, is there add-on prices after all this? Is this a set price?
It's going to be a set price for what they give us, but they know they're going to talk to us first and pick our brains and get that information out and then come up with a design. And so they were both on the same page as far as let's collect more information from you all. We'll have a public information process, and it's not going to drive. It's not going to change our cost to provide you a design.
Well, I just seems strange to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not thinking the wide spectrum. As you're first off, you're getting the design.
Yeah.
Or the cost of a design, correct? Or a plan on paper, correct? Mm-hmm.
We're getting the cost for essentially to help us with the design, right? As well as with getting it all the plans laid out to the point where it's ready to be issued a building permit, essentially.
Right.
And with the construction costs as well. And unfortunately, it's not a cheap and expensive endeavor.
No, I'm sure it isn't. And we knew that was coming anyway. I mean, we certainly know that is going to be an expensive project, but it needs to be done. But it just seems to me that we're kind of going.
It's almost like
it just doesn't, you know. I mean,
it's almost a chicken and egg, right? If we already have the designs worked out, you know, the price could be less, but we don't, they're going to help us with the design.
But we're paying for them to help us with the design. Absolutely.
I mean,
we have an idea, and we have, you know, essentially a layout in mind, number of offices, reception, bathrooms, all that kind of good stuff.
And they know that.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
the other. Right. You know, I mean, you're right, Ursula.
I mean, it's like the cart before the horse. If you're going to build a house, you need to know somewhat of what you want.
What was specified in the RFP was an addition, right, a renovation of this structure to be used as a public meeting space.
Right.
And then an addition around the size of 2,000 square feet. So that kind of hemmed it in, right? It would probably take longer to design the Taj Mahal versus a 2,000 square foot addition. So you're right. I think they kind of knew they were on an equal playing field, which is important.
And where is this company from?
One's from Delaware, Northern Delaware. And the other company, Home Partnership, I believe, Harford County, Maryland.
It's Harford County. You see the guy that does the senior housing?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, yeah.
I'm sure you checked your background. Okay. All right, that's
fine. Prosper, you have anything?
Yeah. What kind of references do these two contractors and architects What made you select these two?
Well, they had the, I think we would say the lowest responsible bids, these two.
References, how do we?
Well, and references were provided by both, but we did not call these references before we decided to negotiate with these final two. We would obviously before awarding the contract to one.
How many bids did we put out the RFP? How many bids did we get in?
Three.
Okay. And actually, I believe Lou's gonna pass around. This was one of the booklets that Cooper Associates put out with regards to the town. You want to? We have another copy of that.
Yep.
Oh, we're still talking about the city comments.
Sir, I'm sorry. I don't know your name. Do you have any comment on the town hall edition? No? Okay. All right, we'll go to Zoom. Mr. Mahan, you have any comment?
Yes. I think they're both excellent firms, but if you separate the issues, one's an architecture firm and one is a housing development firm, and there's quite a lot of difference. I think the town should work with Frank Hodgins or whatever his name is. I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly. But I think the town needs the senior housing project. And I think that the property on Carpenter's Point would be a great thing. And I believe that that's how we should engage him. The other, Cooperson, is a full-blown architecture firm. And looking at both websites, it's clear that they have far more experience. I mean, their website's divided up into categories of buildings that they've done. Civic is one, historic renovation is another, and we're doing both. And I've worked with a lot of architecture firms along the line on my own houses and then also in designing the offices for our company in Los Angeles. There's a lot that goes into it beyond just the floor plan. Cooperson, for instance, offers interior design, and that's not necessarily couches and desks and stuff. But today's modern contemporary offices have a lot of built-ins versus going out and just buying a desk and a chair. And Cooperson would have the contacts with the industrial design firms that can build and fabricate all the things that that would be part of their design. So I think in terms of capability, and also frankly, it's odd to hear it from me, but having to do with price, I think Cooperson is what the town should go with.
Thank you, Mr. Mahan.
Sure.
All right. iPhone 13 Pro Max, do you have any comment? I'm asking you to unmute. We'll find out if they speak. All right, iPhone, I'll come back to you. How about Jamie Edwards? Do you have any comment?
No comment.
All right, how about Steve and Thelma? Do you have any comment? I can come back to you. Terry, you have anything? Oh, go ahead. Steve and Thelma, you're right.
No comment. Thank you. We had technical difficulties.
No problem. Terry, do you have anything?
I missed the beginning, but so I don't really want to weigh in, but I am excited for this project to be done, and that's it.
Thank you. How about 443-309-1553? Do you have any comment?
Hi, it's Robin. No comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. And then I guess we'll go back to iPhone 13 Pro Max. Do you have any comment? I guess that's it.
So before we vote, you know, I know that we had budgeted, I think, this for this fiscal year, 50,000.
60,000 last year and this year combined.
60,000
total. Yep.
So, you know, in proceeding it with this, which I still think believe we should and keep moving this ball forward, otherwise it'll never happen. But I like, because obviously by doing it in this matter, you know, we are going to get top-notch quality professional designs, and this, you know, this addition, whatever we do, you know, should carry us through and be something that people at this town's proud of for generations to come. And I think we're going to get a really sound quality design and even, you know, an intelligent building as well. So I just want to point out that we will need to amend the budget in that respect, which we can, I think we can take some money from obviously the ARPA funds and move it over. And it's not a tremendous amount, but I think we should certainly proceed with this and push forward. Is there any more discussion among the board, or can we get a motion?
And then you like the only one we haven't heard from.
I haven't said anything either.
Yeah, well, I've been taking it all in.
Not see how it is.
I like the fact that Cooperson has what they've done with the historic buildings. I've been by some of those buildings, so I know what they look like. I kind of like Cooperson.
I'm going to make a motion to amend the budget by $29,600 to allow Cooperson Associates to do that.
I'm going to second it.
So we have a motion essentially to engage Cooperson Associates for the purposes of the town hall design, as well as amending the budget by $29,600 for purposes of facilitating this contract. We have a second.
A
motion by Commissioner Wood, a second by Commissioner Fields. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good. We've got four nays. Cooper Associates selected. Wonderful. Okay, next item on the agenda is stormwater projects.
Yes. So the first, there's just three items to discuss. Honestly, the first one, I don't think really has anything to do with stormwater management. But we received a notice of concern over here at the St. John's Methodist Church that the step or the asphalt going up to the concrete is not the right pitch. It was a patch. I don't know how long ago that patch was done, but it is rather unsafe. If you walk up there and you try to get into the church, it kind of causes a little bit of a...
This is right in front of the steps going up and in to the church?
Yeah, right before the right before the sidewalk. So it's asphalt. It's a patch of asphalt that was meant to just kind of take the parking lot up to the concrete sidewalk. So this cost estimate here is to saw cut and remove that piece, which is, we feel, a little dangerous, and replace in order to keep the grade of the sidewalk back to the existing blacktop without any dip or uneven terrain. What the church is considering doing on their own is putting in a railing for the elderly folks to hold on to as they get from the driveway to the sidewalk, but I did take a look at it and do agree that it's something I think that should be fixed. We all know it's town property, So that's all that estimate is for.
Do we have a motion on that repair?
Is the estimate $1,200?
Yep.
Yes.
I second that.
We have a motion.
It's $1,236.
And the second by Commissioner Fields for repairing the blacktop in front of the church.
As soon as possible.
In the amount of $1,236.
All right, so Lou made the motion.
Yes.
Yeah,
second. Jeff second.
Yes. Say aye.
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 Quickly as possible on that, Brian.
Yep.
Carries. Next, Brian.
Yep. Next is along Frederick Street, if you all remember, the swale relocation right about the 438 Frederick Street is what was being proposed initially. There would be no change in price, but it might actually be a decrease in cost. Instead of relocating that swale about 7 feet away from Frederick Street and trying to regrade to a new ditch line, the proposal now is to put in a pipe that would go from the existing 18-inch culvert where there's a driveway access there.
Brian, not to interrupt, but could you pull it up on GIS?
Yeah.
Just to kind of...
Oh, you're fine. Yeah, this existing swale is really steep. I mean, you can tell just on the aerial photo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me share this with folks. Sorry.
This has been an ongoing problem.
It's you see the steepness of it. Here's the culvert pipe that we were going to replace anyway. It's 18 inches. What's tricky about relocating this swale 7 feet in, it appears we have the road right away to do that. This culvert that goes underneath Frederick Street here, it's kind of angled like this. It's the wrong direction. So that is part of the reason to necessitate putting in a pipe along that stretch, but also because of the height, the existing grade of the road, it'll be a lot easier slope to maintain if it's just piped and fill put on top to taper back to that same point. It would not, the fear was that if the swale just moved over 7 feet, that we would still have a slope that would be difficult to maintain. The swale might still move, and it was really hard to reconcile with this pipe going that direction. Mm-hmm. So it was just, upon further review, it's a modification. We think it could be a decrease in cost. Just wanted to share that with the board.
So we're looking to put in a pipe in that the current ditch.
Yes. Yep. Right? It'd be a plastic pipe. Because that is the recommendation these days. I think the material.
24-inch pipe or something?
24-inch pipe, yep. We would be replacing the existing 18-inch pipe with plastic. And then it would actually be open for a stretch there. You see on the diagram about 50 feet in the middle. And then pipe the last 60 feet, tying in with a concrete connector box. With that existing culvert going under Frederick Street, that would be a 24-inch plastic pipe as well. The recommendation is to go with plastic nowadays because it lasts longer. The metal pipes tend to corrode because of salt.
Will anybody be driving over that pipe?
Not the 24-inch pipe, no. Yeah, the 18-inch pipe does have a... looks like it's access to the garage back here, a driveway going over.
And again, this is an area where we were having issues with it was deteriorating the road as well.
Right. Yeah, the road. The reason this became kind of a priority was just the deterioration of the roadbed. We didn't want to see a sinkhole form and be worse and more expensive to fix.
Now, we had voted on this previously, correct?
Yep.
And I can't remember the amount that we had. $1,000 for that.
But you don't need another.
But what is?
Yeah, so I believe it's around $9,000.
Okay, and this the cost of this is going to be?
It would be that or less.
So is everyone good with the modification?
Yeah.
So let's just do a quick motion for modification in accordance with the plan that's designated by Brian.
I make a motion that with this modification, we go forward with fixing the road again.
I'll second it.
The second for the motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Go ahead, Brian.
All right. And then last one is just the first on that third page. The cost estimate for establishing a swale along Market Street on the, I'll pull it up on the GIS. Right at Market and Water. And you can actually see it on the aerial photograph. This photo was taken in March of 2019. I'm going to try to use my cursor here, but water is coming out of a sump pump pretty continuously any season. It doesn't matter. And it runs out across the road here because it has no swale to go down. There's an inlet right here. And that inlet pipe goes underneath Market Street and then drains into this swale, which drains into that culvert and then goes out to the river. This amount of water is going across, it's eroding this driveway entrance here at Market. It's still, this water is moving across the surface and then going into Veterans Park. And if anyone's been to Veterans Park recently, this area is a little bit of a swamp right there in front of the restrooms. So again, I thought this was a bit of a priority project, mainly because of this water. Again, it comes out any season. It creates ice sheets that we have to salt in the wintertime. It gets cold for 2-3 months.
Mix it with water.
Go ahead. So the cost of that we have down is $5,865.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
Right, and that's, what's it doing? It's putting in a...
It's putting in a swale from this area right above 117 Market Street all the way down to the inlet box that's right here. And then it gets piped already.
So it keeps
underwater.
The water on.
It keeps the water in the swale and off of Market Street.
So
off of Water Street and into Veterans Park.
Right.
Right. Again, this culvert pipe should keep it in the swales,
right,
along Market and Water. And we need a swale along Market Street in order to do that. We're just talking about number one on this page. Sure. It's just number one has a couple of different elements to it. It also involves patching, asphalt patch right here, because there's a big pothole right there. That's where a lot of the water and I think activity with turning in and out of that driveway has created a pretty sizable pothole. Mm-hmm. So it's patching that, cutting that bank back, I think is the description. Yeah, slope the back blacktop into the driveway.
This is mill and patch area coming out of the wellwood slope bank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think if there was another piece to this. Nope. It's really those two elements.
Right. Anything to stop it from running down that road again and over into the park, it has definitely got to be done.
I agree.
So this does this.
Kids are soaking wet down there and just trying to walk.
I mean, we were just down there after the dinner Thursday night, and it was like, man, I got to. You got to go around this way to get to the ice house.
This is already the 31 too, right?
So what's
This was considered before, but tabled, I would say.
What's part two? What's number two on there? The 8958
one. This is a piece of this along Water Street here. There's some rock that needs to be added just for the water that's coming out of this culvert pipe. I think the description is it's like 63 linear feet. And then reestablishing the swale, there is an existing swale along here, but it needs to be dug down and dug out. It's filled in. It's that swale down to the culvert pipe is right around the cedar trees here. And then the other element to that, I was actually further down Water Street at Frederick Street. There's a inlet box right here that is caving in and needs to be replaced. The proposal would just be the same size. That's what is there. And then if you move a little further down Water Street, the other element is actually putting a swale. This is different than putting a culvert pipe under this driveway here to 617 Water, putting a swale over top and removing some of the shrubs that are in the road right of way here and establishing the swale down to this inlet box. And I think that's it.
Just to keep the water out of the roadway.
Correct. Yep. Because it's you can tell this swale right now is full or non-existent. So water is running across Water Street. It's coming from this direction and it's going into the Charlestown Marina.
Have we had complaints from Charlestown Marina?
No. Nope.
Big mud puddles in there, right?
Yeah.
You can tell that's where the water's running. I know. I've not talked to them about it.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and the one that's failing. Too. I know what you're
But generally speaking, I mean, we want to try to keep water off the roads and into swales. And we know there are some areas where we don't have swales or the swales just need to be dug out.
So let's move on to number three.
We already went over number three. Right?
So Frederick Street. We had on our list to replace the culvert pipe going under this driveway at 106. I don't think we were going to replace the one at 110 because that was recent, but I think 116. But this cost estimate is looking at the other side of Frederick. It's to this very similar thing right here at the intersection with Calvert Street. This swale is filled in, and so that needs to be dug out. There's actually rock in there that needs to be dug out. We could reuse that rock, but that swale needs to be dug out. This culvert pipe underneath the driveway here needs to be replaced. I think with the heavy truck traffic, that plastic pipe, especially here at the edges, has been damaged, and so that's not working. There's also a swale down here, further down Frederick Street, that needs to be reestablished under the bridge. Because that's ponding. Again, there is water. One thing that we paved last year was this little stretch of Frederick Street because it was gravel. And constantly our maintenance staff would, after a big storm, would have to scrape the gravel out of Water Street. Mm-hmm. And so we paved that wonders. Piece. It is working wonders, but there's still water coming down Frederick Street over top of the asphalt. And, you know, eventually water going over asphalt is just going to destroy the asphalt. Let me see if there's anything else in there. It's been a while since we looked at that. No, I think that's it.
So on all of those three items, it's essentially a total of 25,000 bucks.
Yep.
I say I'm for the first one, and I'm not looking at either of the other two right now.
In my, and this is kind of where we were before the last time this was brought up. I mean, when I look at Frederick and Market Street, particularly, I mean, those streets are in such a dire need of a, you know, it's all about that stormwater management and you know, for the future. I mean, we need sidewalks. I mean, it's a dangerous area, and it's high traffic, and. And it's not like I don't want to get this done, but I'd rather have, we're spending a lot of money on this, and I'd rather have a cohesive plan as to what it's going to look like at the final day, because if we were to subsequently say, okay, we're going to do sidewalks and lights, well, guess what? All those swales that we just dug up are
in the way.
Are going to be dug up.
All right.
You know, and that's, and I'm,
yeah,
I know it's difficult to try to get everything, you know, done at one time, but for example, like, you know, down at the, by the boat launch, I mean, we mm-hmm. talked about, you know, maybe, you know, a pipe should run straight down Frederick and mm-hmm. in, down to the boat launch area, and that would take care of all that water.
Or do you mean straight down Market?
Straight down Market, I'm sorry, straight down Market and then straight down into the boat launch area, and that would cure.
Oh, that's why I said yes to Market, because they were running the pipe straight down. Yes to Market, because that takes care of the park and Market, and it is a pipe that they're running. They're not doing so.
And this ties in, I know, you know, we're talking about the whole big picture, right?
Yes, we are.
We're talking about the whole big picture.
I'm not talking, I don't like doing either one of the other two, because I think that's useless right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
and
I
the
do.
The fact that we have the RFP out now to get this, we should kind of be conservative. I understand about the first one as well.
Yeah but the other two, I just can't.
I'm having a hard time, like I said at the last meeting, piecing things together mm-hmm. and not thinking of the big.
I'm not opposed to, you know, some of the drain pipes under the driveways mm-hmm. if they're crushed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they certainly need to be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking a lot of money here for stuff that might just get wiped out in three or four years.
And with the plans, it might not be
feasible.
It might not be.
It might change
because of what we're asking for the whole town.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a motion that we do number one on the list for $5,865, at least get this problem alleviated for the Veterans Park.
Yeah.
Because in the wintertime, that does freeze up and it's very dangerous.
It's wet there.
Yeah, but it might help though.
This was sent to me since we're on roads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go this way. I know it's right there in my neighborhood, but I don't go this way.
Take care of this one real quick.
I'm in motion.
It doesn't matter. 5865. And the second by Commissioner Wood. All in favor say aye.
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 This is right up from the school, and this is where the kids walk
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. on our area to go to the school buses mm-hmm. and to the elementary school. It's on Ogle
Street. It says Ogle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's next mm-hmm. to Ollie and Linda's house. Okay, it's pretty big of a pothole. It's right in front of their house, but again, mm-hmm. it's kind of like in the middle, so all the kids are going to be coming up there in the next couple of weeks that are in the neighborhood to go to mm-hmm. school. So
it needs to be fixed before school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is there anything else on that?
Nope. That was it.
Okay. Next item, new business is part time. So we interviewed four potential candidates, and I tell you, I thought they were all mm-hmm. top notch. But the commissioners have the recommendation of the committee for Ms. Julia Campagna for purposes of taking over the part-time accounting system, as we kind of tend to get rid of our current accountant corporate. So this and Julia's done a lot of prior accounting work and has handled multiple audits for, which is what this individual is really going to be overseeing and taking care of for us, for other nonprofits and organizations. And anyway, that's our recommendation. So we're bringing her before the board for approval. So there's a motion.
A motion to
hire.
So we have a motion to vote. Commissioner Woods, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Wonderful. Okay, next item on the agenda, we had an opening on the Ethics Commission. I guess Mr.
Andy Thompson's chair.
Andy Thompson. He's chair currently, and mm-hmm. Mr. Gilley stepped down.
Okay. Yep. And we've had a vacancy. Yeah.
Correct.
I believe Prosper's on the board as well.
He's one of the most people I know in Charlestown. Yeah. Yeah. So we have, I believe, two candidates. One being Mr. Jamie Edwards, who lives up on Calvert Street. He and his wife, Ms. Edwards, Tara Edwards. And then the other is Mr. Kenny.
Yep, Tom Kenny. Tom Kenny, who lives on Loiza Lane.
On Loiza Lane. So it's, you know, it's great that we have two candidates that are willing to participate, but we can only select one. And I think that both obviously fit the bill. So we have a motion. Or if anybody wants to say anything from one direction or the other, before we take the vote.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really good people. I don't, I mean, I know and stuff that he's involved with, even with the county and stuff. So,
how long has Mr. Kenny been in town now?
In town?
Yeah.
I'd have to click on his parcel. I don't know.
I just, you know, I'll say I think it's great that I know that Jamie and Tara have been in town for, mm-hmm. I don't know, 5 or 6 years now, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I love having new people coming in and wanting to participate. And I don't know that Jamie's participated in any town committees or boards before, but
Tom's,
I think it's a great thing. You know.
Tom's been there since 2008, mm-hmm. so 14 years.
So
I'll go along with everybody else wants to follow me. I guess they're both pretty qualified. So.
I'd like to nominate Tom.
So we have a motion for Mr. Tom Kenny. Do we have a second? We have a second. A motion by Commissioner Capano, a second by Commissioner Wood, all in favor of appointing Mr. Kenny to the Ethics Commission. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good. And thank you. Thank you very much to both of you for putting your names in. We greatly appreciate that. It's what makes the town keep rolling. So please don't hesitate to put your name out again. Thank you so much. Okay, next item on the agenda is the PNC, and congratulations to Mr. Kenny. Next item on the agenda is the PNC Bank Security Deposit Account.
Yeah, our lease for the tenant at 630 Water Street stipulates that we need to set up a separate security deposit account.
That is correct.
And that's what we need to do. All I'm asking this board for is that I be the signer on that account. Me and only me, because that's easier than having to track down commissioners. No, no offense, especially as it changes over the years.
Still need to have other people besides you.
Well, I mean, that was my idea. It's just making me so I can get it done. But what do you guys think?
We have to have at least two or three signers on it. Yeah.
So let's have a motion to open up this bank deposit, security deposit account at PNC.
I'll make a motion.
Wait a second.
I'll second it.
So we have a motion by Commissioner Keogh to open up a PNC Bank Security Deposit at PNC with two signers, one being Mr. Brian Leitner.
It could be me, and it could be President, Vice President, Treasurer, if you'd like. Right. I mean, just like the rest of our accounts.
We have a second by Commissioner Capano. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Next item on the agenda is Pitney Bowes postage meter.
All right. So this is... we're being told by Pitney Bowes we have no choice. That machine, the postage meter that's behind Miss Pamela over there, it's out of date, needs to be replaced. We really don't have a choice. The sooner we act on it, the better chance we have of getting it and making sure that our mailing operations continue unimpeded. Just so you all know, on the second page of this price quote they gave us, the current bill that we're paying quarterly is $117 for that postage meter. It's going to go up with the new one to to $232. So the total for the year is currently the total for the year is $468. It'll double, right? So go into this, it's going to be $931 for the year. So sorry, that was such a tongue twister.
So it's
4G. It has to be 4G.
Yeah. Okay.
Make it so. All right.
Do we have
motion?
I motion to upgrade our Pitney Bowes postal machine.
I second that.
All right.
Second by Commissioner Wood. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
5G service.
Next item on the agenda is the mini splits.
So unfortunately, our oil furnace in the crawl space has a crack in it. Yeah. And so we've been breathing oil in town hall with the, because it goes through our HVAC system, and we're thinking, boy, we need to do something about that. Now we got a cost of,
what is this? That was next in the packet.
That was just the, I think the price quotes.
It's a
for Pitney Bowes for the postage meeting.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I was like, did I miss something? Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
You're fine. I mean, we're starting with, obviously, Alger Oil is who maintains our, who we get oil from to fill our tank, who maintains our furnace currently. And they said, you know, you guys would be a good candidate to go to the mini splits, which is just electric. They said, hey, we could put a box on that wall, a box on this wall. But when you look at the price tag, $9,785 to install the mini splits, and then another $700 to remove the oil tank and the furnace, versus just replacing the furnace. There's some photos in there in the packet about what the mini splits look like. The price of replacing the furnace is $4,800. Of course, you know, there's still the price of oil. But there's also the price of electricity for mini splits. So.
I will tell you, they use less electricity than the regular ones because I have one, and that's a really good price.
Are they noisy?
No. And it automatically, you can set it to automatic, so it automatically flips back and forth from air to heat. It automatically does it. You don't have to touch it. Mm-hmm.
Is it easy to direct the cold air or the hot air?
Yeah. It's. I have it upstairs. There's one upstairs in my son's room. It's awesome.
And the price of oil is going to be outrageous.
And it doesn't use as much of electricity. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. This is why we wanted to share it with you all.
Oil is not going to go down. Oil is going to continue to rise.
Why do we need two?
Alger Oil came out and measured our space and said you need two.
I mean,
we could ask
space on square.
And we don't have to just get it from Alger either. I mean, people sell these Moon Air and them. So
I'm telling you that's a good price. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. Right.
But I'm saying we don't have to look at this space. You can look, but it's not a bad deal.
I know somebody that just got a quote for 13.
Now I remember way back when.
Yeah, when we did it.
This board had talked about mini splits, mm-hmm. but I couldn't find it in the minutes. I couldn't find it. Yeah, I looked, and they're in the post office.
Yeah.
We did. It would have been like 2000.
It's more efficient. It's more efficient.
And it can go with the building, even with the new building.
I'll be honest, I really like the idea of doing something quickly because I don't want to breathe the oil anymore.
Yeah, it's not good.
In our indoor air quality.
We heard about this. How long ago when the guy was here?
Yeah, it was about 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks ago.
It was a while ago.
You especially smell it when you're standing there by the door.
Yeah, these guys should not be in here still.
If they were going to mini splits, what they would do, they would take off that little return there, the HVAC return, that would disappear, and they would just patch up all the vents in the floor.
The other alternative is obviously to replace
the furnace, and then I think we hire somebody like Stanley Steamer to clean out the vents for us.
Our air conditioning's been working fine, though.
Yeah, otherwise, right. Yes. Yeah. It just smells funny.
Yeah, it's not so good again.
I know that some of the public wants to comment on this just briefly.
Okay.
Anything else from commissioners want
to? I'm from Netflix. I've seen. I have birds in my house,
Over here with Mr. Boudart.
Mr. Boudart, you have any comment on the mini splits?
Well, first of all, I thought I heard you say that the furnace has a crack in it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a safety hazard because of carbon monoxide. And, you either have to replace the furnace or move one to the other option, yes, which is the right way to go.
Ms. Ursula?
I know it's going to be a while before you do what you're going to do with this building. What's the cost of a new furnace, a more efficient furnace? You don't want to get that wall going off, because I know that. It says electric, that's going up too. So
yeah.
What's the differential between the two? And we're not talking post office, we're just talking here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about a different type of furnace than
a new furnace.
Oh well, yeah, it would be more efficient. I don't. There's probably different types of furnaces out there. We do. Yep, 4,800.
And the bitty splits are
9,700.
Oh my God, you're double. I would go lower. I mean, I know what you're saying, but down the road, you guys are eventually going to be doing something here. So why put another $5,000 or $4,000 in if it's going to work with a new efficient furnace?
Ms. Pamela? How about Ms. Audrey? Any comments?
On the furnace situation?
Yep, on the furnace situation. No. Mr. Taylor?
I like that.
Could they use the mini split when they do the renovation?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just ask anybody,
raise your hands. Hey, anybody online, Zoom, just raise your hand, please, if you'd like to comment on the furnace / mini split debate. Mr. I'll ask everybody to unmute. Anybody wishing to speak, just hop right in there.
Hey, Brian, it's Thelma.
Yeah.
Similar question. I think somebody just said something about the renovations. Like, how does that fit into, I know you don't know how you guys are going to renovate yet, at least that's what it sounds like, but to put even the mini splits in or however many thousands going to be spent, will that be removed when you do your renovations in a year?
So the preliminary idea is to take this wall out between us and the post office and to convert this into a bigger public meeting space. If there's too many splits over there, too many splits over here, one might presume that would work for this space. Or if there was a furnace in the crawl space, that might work for this side and the mini splits work for that side. But I don't know, you know, how furnace and mini splits work together.
That'll be worked out, but I think mini splits can also be moved around pretty easily and efficiently. So even if we didn't use it here, you know, it's possible we can move it to another.
I guess that's just what I was wondering, you know, putting money, a lot of money up front now, and then when you renovate, maybe you would be putting in a whole different kind of system, would be more efficient for whatever the renovations come out to be. But that's all I was curious about. Thank you.
A valid consideration.
Mr. Mahan, you had any comment?
Yes, I agree with Thelma. I think that the most efficient way of doing it right now in the short term is to put in a new furnace that's less expensive because there's no guarantee that the entire complex would not have a new heating system. And I think that putting cart before the horse, proposing mini splits, because they may not go with the new design in terms of, yes, they're movable and everything, but I would leave that up to the decision like that up to the experts and go with a more cost efficient way of solving the problem now, since more money was spent on architecture than was previously budgeted.
All right, how about iPhone 13 Pro Max? Do you have anything?
I don't have a comment on the heater. You have to do what you have to do. I have a couple comments, so I guess I'll reserve them. It's about the street water from 117 that flows over to the Wellwood. That definitely needs to be fixed.
Okay, hang on.
It's solid ice in the winter and you cannot walk on it.
Hang on, Pauline. We'll come back to you later.
Thank you.
Sit tight. You're welcome.
Great. Anybody else?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, those, you know, that's the question, right, for the board. I mean, do we go with the mini splits with the fact that we are about to undergo a major renovation of town hall, or do we just go with the cheaper item to go ahead and get it fixed?
I want to make a comment on it because I see my electric bill with the mini splits, okay, and how efficient they are, and the cost of fuel right now is actually cheaper to run the mini splits. So in the long run, we're still going to be spending about the same because of how much fuel is.
New furnaces are more efficient.
So it's the mini split. I have them.
Miss Kathy has something she
does. Would you work after Cooperson? Which would work better with the revision.
I don't think they're, it might, but I don't know. I imagine they're going to say they don't know yet.
They wouldn't know.
Okay. Yeah.
I think the fact that the mini splits can be moved, mm-hmm. And if it needs to, that it can be, because they are zoned, that they can even be put into an area, even in the addition, if it's not going to be big enough for this area.
But I imagine when the addition comes on board, that it's going to be one central HVAC system, as opposed to various mini splits. So anyway, we've got to make a decision. So
That's what I'm wondering too. We're going to put up the money for this. But what I think you're going with is this furnace. Is this furnace going to be only big enough to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just wasting money. We're just throwing this money right down the drain.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah. Where the mini splits, it can be.
We could at least move it and use them someplace else. This is only going to be big enough to do this.
Yep.
And we're wasting $5,000 plus the oil that's going to cost us.
We can ask.
Ask them that.
About the furnace?
Yeah. Because we do not have to make a decision.
Well,
right. I know.
I would like to make at least a conditional approval, well, maybe.
Okay.
Get creative would be my recommendation.
Well, here's the thing. How would you like to go? You're in here all the time.
I know. My honestly, it's to get it done as quick as possible, but as cost effective as possible. Right. I think the mini splits are versatile, reusable. I don't know the answer to the furnace question.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the new efficient furnace could heat both us and the post, or heat and cool both us and the post office.
I think originally they were on a furnace over there, right?
That's where all that leak was.
Right,
that
right.
Yeah.
So there was two furnaces at one point. Right.
Okay.
And there was a major leak that
it stopped for both.
So the, I don't know. So maybe it was two zones.
I think it was two furnaces.
That's why we went
with
the split over there.
Mm-hmm. I'm more partial towards the mini split because of the fact that it can, but I understand what you're saying. So should we do a motion to approve the mini split unless, because it's cheaper,
mm-hmm.
unless they come back and say
the furnace could do both us and the post office.
How much that one would cost? The cost.
If the one they're proposing only does this zone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It would be what the cost would be for one that would do
it. Maybe a hook over there.
Yeah. All right. I make a motion. Not to go over $9,785, potentially to approve the mini split, unless they can come back less than that it's approval
for the furnace.
Yeah, if it's the 4,000 whatever plus the 350.
And can heat and cool.
Side.
Yeah.
Side. Okay. But I'm thinking with the fact
the
that there's
cool.
Yeah, furnace is on the heat.
Sorry.
But I think with the fact that that was already converted, it's all that stuff was taken out. So
no, they did. No, I don't remember.
I don't think they did take the tub.
All right. So there's a motion on the floor to approve or to go with the split system, unless the furnace can accommodate both the post office and the town hall. Do we have a second on that?
I second.
That way we can get this going and town hall doesn't have to smell the fuel.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't want
to. So all in favor of that motion, do I need to restate that? Good. Say aye.
Aye.
All right. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Now, before we get there, do any of the commissioners have anything they want to add before we get into public comment?
I know everybody's seen a check in there.
You got to speak up a little bit.
I'm so sorry.
You got a mic in front of you, Lou, if you need it.
I'm trying to find pictures, and I apologize to the gallery. I wanted to have these pointed out, but I ended up at the doctor's. In reference to some of the things that we've been working on, Commissioner Capanna, myself, and the ladies in the office, and some other friends, in reference to the pocketbook bingo and all that we've been working on so diligently. We have almost all the purses purchased already. And we also have a large basket, which would take up the center of this table. And it is filled already with things that we're going to raffle off.
None of them go
for and I also wanted to make sure and to let, wow, we're calling 911. Please don't call us back.
It wasn't me.
And I wanted to say thank you very much. We had a Maryland Municipal League meeting here the other night, which I'm president of, and Charlestown hosted. And we had the lovely Miss Audrey speak, and we also had the Ice House opened that night, and the folks went over there, and everything I got back was nothing but pure joy from everybody who came, and they were all very lucky to have you talk to them, and they were extremely happy. Everybody kind of sent me messages and was like, that was such a wonderful thing. Thank you, Charlestown. So I wanted everybody here to know how welcome they felt and honored that they got to meet you. And I did have that put into the minutes for you. I came in, Brian gave it to me, and I got a hold of my secretary, and she is putting it into the minutes. So I wanted to make sure that I let you know that.
And I omitted saying to them that Charlestown is celebrating its 300th birthday in 20 years.
Yes.
And I hope that you can.
Yes. And
everyone needs to get ready to. I won't be.
She said she wanted to make sure that everybody knew.
To know that you're celebrating 300 years.
And so even though we may not be here, she wanted to make sure that all you young people knew. And to make sure to get ready to celebrate it, Doggone it. So
start planning.
Start planning now.
Tonight was the beginning.
Yes. So I said that would be the biggest colonial fair that we could ever have around here. So everybody has to be ready. And we have to get these young people, like your granddaughter, who so eloquently did the pledge tonight.
She was very excited about it.
Now, and they can be the ones sitting here going, what are we going to do? And we need to get you on tape and everything and have you just spew all those words of wisdom that you have for us and like make a library of it. And I'd love to have that
I
done.
I recorded you.
And just
night.
Record you, you know, and put a library up. Because, you know, we have people that have passed. Mm-hmm. And when you say, oh, do you remember something? And they go, who? And I'm like, how can you be from Charlestown and not know who that was? You know, and I don't want that to continue to go on. So I think that we need to make a library, a video library of some of our special folks, including you, Prosper, Ursula, Miss Pauline, Rosie, people that have lived here. And now look, Ursula's going to know, not me.
I go all the way back to elementary school.
Exactly. You know, when you can sit in here and say, you know, I went to school here.
Oh,
And that's what I told some of my friends that were sitting around me. And I said, you know, our office, our town office is where she runs a school at. And they were like, what? And I was like, yes, she did. So it's and it's interesting. And I said, so I was really proud of our town that night. And so thank you guys so very much for making me shine in front of the entire county and the Hartford County. So it was really nice. And don't forget, next Tuesday is National Night Out Against Crime. We will have McGruff, hopefully. I'm crossing my fingers that he still gets to show up, even though I'm getting the smelly McGruff and the sun is still getting the brand new shiny one. But we'll have Radar there. We have hot dogs being cooked by the gentleman. So, and that's Sunday, we have the president, Andy Thompson, and his band down at Avalon. So we've got a lot of exciting things coming up, and I'm really proud of our events committee with Ms. Renee and all of us. So stay tuned. And that's all I have for tonight.
I mean, you did a fantastic job with the MML meeting. That was great.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed
really
it.
Well done.
How many people were there? We had them from 64 people, and they represent all of Cecil County and all of Hartford County for the Maryland Municipal League. And I'm the president, but I represent all of us.
Right.
So
okay.
It was one of the bigger
trips. Yeah, it was. So I'm always proud to represent us here.
It felt like 100.
It did. When you stand up there, you're kind of like all of a sudden like, okay, I just forgot everything. But I enjoyed doing it.
Jeff?
I just wanted to, you know, emphasize what you said. It was a very well-planned event.
Thank you.
The food was excellent. Ms. Kathy needs a lot of credit for everything she did.
Yes.
I'd like to say, too, that I'm glad to see that we're moving ahead on the town hall plans. That's something I think we've been talked about for years and years, and it's finally starting to get moving. Some of the infrastructure plan, you know, we're getting some of these water problems fixed, and I just think the town's moving in the right direction. And you know, I'm just glad to be on the board and hope to, you know, see everything go good. That's all I have.
Miss Audrey, I did record you the other night, so it's going online. Sorry. I also recorded.
Jeanette and Sonny.
I recorded them both. And I had said something to Jeanette last week about that I'm going to get a hold of Miss Krista Gilmore up at the county to look for volunteers to do the living library. I did it a long time ago when I worked for the county in the senior centers. I think it is a good idea. We need to, because things need to be more accessible and for people to hear what our elders have to say about the town before that history is lost. But it's also, we need to see what's also down at Torrey House and get some of that stuff online too, just like what we did when I was on the board before of meeting minutes back to the 1700s and nothing's changed. It's still the same arguments from 1700s.
Mini splits.
So I am in agreement with that. And the activities committee, we are moving forward. We still have a long way to go. So I think we are.
Just briefly, we had talked about in the past about signboards and whatnot, and just, you know, a couple. I didn't have a chance to. I tried to send these out every email, but they wouldn't go. But you know, something simple along these lines that even our guys could somewhat construct. You know, just with a little group, but a little bigger thing, and then we could put up all the rules and so forth, and we'd have to figure out where they would go, but we could have one down at certainly Avalon's preserving and veterans, you know, but just something along those lines that, so we can put up our rules and so forth, our expectations.
You know, down at Veterans right now, we have the boat ramp rules as a big old sign right next to the ramp. And we do have a signboard there now. Mm-hmm. It's not like those. And if we want to make them consistent,
we would make them consistent, you know. And they might have, I'd make them kind of
as period-esque as possible, either with like cedar shake roof or metal roof or what have you, to tie things in so that they're all sanded. But anyway, something to meditate upon, and we can come up with a cost of what it might cost.
Yeah, that's also I was going to say is, you know, we can look into some cost estimates for those. Even just providing some signs, additional signs, we'll have cost estimates for the next meeting. Mm-hmm. I know we had also talked about on our box for Park Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on the list too. I think Terry's going to give her Park Ranger report at the next meeting, August 9th. And we're going to try to get all that lined up for consideration.
I'm sorry. There is one thing. I guess I have to be the Debbie Downer. We had one incident at the park, and I guess this person should realize that I felt horrible and I was not able to breathe, and that is the only thing that was saving grace that day, because had I been feeling better and able to breathe, it would have probably gone a lot different. People that live in the town need to understand that because you have that sign on your thing or anything, still does not give you the legal right to park where it says no parking. And our park ranger asked the person to please move. She at that point immediately got called everything but anything that was nice. But profanity was spewed all over the place. And at which time Terry said, please, I'm just advising you, you can't park there. And she said, well, what are you, the blanky blank police or blah, blah, blah. And you know, at that point she stepped back, contacted me. I came down and I got out of the truck. And I still know I couldn't breathe very well, but it was very hot. I got out. I couldn't have gotten from me to Dennis from her. And she said, why are you here to harass me? And I was like, ma'am, I'm just here to tell you, you need to move your vehicle. She goes, I'm not going to, listen, it's Sunday. The trash man doesn't come until Monday. I'm not moving my car. Okay. There's a lot of lines parked very neatly in front of the dumpster. In fact, there's a dumpster actually halfway into the middle of the parking spot. And I'm sorry, but you can't park there. And your dog is supposed to be on a leash. Many children that go down there to play in our parks have dog phobias. They're scared of large dogs. I have even had people come to me and say, look, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cause a problem, but my child is afraid of dogs. Can you please just ask them? I don't mind that they're there, but will you please just ask them to put them on a lead? And I said, yeah, no problem. And they'll do it most of the time because you tell them, look, that little kid over there is afraid of a big dog. A little dog, they don't mind. They're kind of like, okay, that's cute. Stay over there. But when a dog is huge, like a Great Dane, they have a fear. So this dog, and I couldn't breathe. I said, okay, it's not worth it. I'll contact the sheriff's office. I'll go back. I don't like doing that. I would rather just be able to say, please just move your vehicle and be done with it. Nobody wants to contact them for a parking complaint. But when you're spewing profanities and you're causing somebody to draw a crowd, that takes that to a different level. That has now become disorderly conduct, which is an arrestable offense in the state of Maryland. When you do that, you become not what we need to see in our parks, whether you live here or not. When you put up signs on top of our podium or whatever you want to call it down there.
Yeah, signboard. Yeah.
Our signboard. Because we put the rules up larger and use profanity against them. That's not what we need in our park either. We have rules in our parks so that the residents can go there and feel comfortable going there. and feel like we're looking out for them. Not so that we're picking on you or anything. It's so that you're comfortable in your town and that we're looking out for you.
It's just common courtesy.
Exactly.
And that's what we need. So.
And, you know, we are not going to tolerate that type of behavior towards any of our employees whatsoever. So, and the police were called and they did come. So I would just like, you know, that to be known that please don't, you know, none of our employees make millions of dollars to come out here and put up with that type of harassment.
So,
thank you.
Yes, the only other thing that I just want to bring up real quick was that, you know, we had Mr. Ollie Slicer passed away.
Mm-hmm, I did see that.
This past week. But anyway, he was a wonderful Charlestown resident.
Yes.
And of course, his wife and Susan Ms. Barker are on the Colonial Charlestown and Historic Commission, I believe, for quite some time. So, so our hearts go out to them. So let's move on to public comment.
I had some things.
Oh, yes, sir.
If that's all right. Sorry. I'll try to keep this brief. But I definitely wanted to reiterate what most board members said about the MML dinner last Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Lou did a great job, not only representing the town, but also the chapter president, right? She was a good job. She did a good job being the MC. Mm-hmm. Carl did a great job as president of the town, giving the host welcome, saying, well, you know, here's what we're up to. That made you think of something? Go ahead.
Just real quickly, about, as everybody knows, the rezoning appeal out on Route 7 mm-hmm. was reversed, and I did meet with Mr. Stewart last week, and he did advise that he would not be appealing it, which is wonderful news. Now, they're looking at other avenues and so forth, but doesn't mean they can't reapply in the future, but you know, for now,
that because of this, they're kind of thinking over what they're doing?
They're actually looking at things that may possibly benefit the town of Charlestown in regard, or and even the county as far as services and other opportunities. They've been visiting other municipalities that have been nominated some of the best, you know, suburban communities in America, and they, you know, discuss about anything that they do out there. They want it to be quality and top notch, upper national scale, which is what I think Charlestown is deserving of. When I was speaking to them, that we talked about, possibility of putting a green belt in around Charlestown, because I've always put forward to them that I consider Charlestown as a mini Williamsburg and something that's deserving to be polished and preserved and so forth. And he even mentioned that. So they're taking that into consideration. And they also mentioned they had hired Eric Sundstrom. So he was a planning and zoning for the county for 20, 30 years, a real sharp fellow. And knows the county well, and they even talked about the possibility of a train station in Charlestown. So all kinds of pretty exciting things, really. Which and the big thing is that keeping us in the loop and communicating with the town of Charlestown about what we might possibly do in the future. So all very positive things. So hopefully we'll continue. And I told him, I said, you're our neighbors, and we want to be good neighbors and good partners moving forward and not fight. We don't want to fight. So, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You can't read. Never mind. So, I need my sticky. So, thank you, Carl. Like I said, I think the president's welcome at the meeting was nice. Telling folks what we're up to. And then Kathy, she did a great job organizing the meeting and really advertising it and getting all 64 people there, right? And making sure it went off without a hitch. You know, I planned my own wedding, so I know how much work goes into events. And behind the scenes, I think she really did a great job.
Right. I know. But I just took my notes. Sticky.
And Audrey, obviously, Audrey Edwards and Jeanette Armour and Sunny Diamante. I mean, the stories that they had to tell about what makes us unique, both from a historical perspective, but even today. That was inspiring. I think it inspired Lou and Renee to say, hey, we got to do a living history project. Like, and that wasn't planned. It was spontaneous and it just happened at that dinner. So it was just inspiring. And I think
I think everybody was genuinely interested and really listened to the tales. You know, it's neat.
It just made me, being a part of that in some small way, just made me proud to work here. And Charlestown's a fun place to work. So thanks everybody who was involved. It was a team project, I'd say. And, you know, when you get elected officials, town staff, and community volunteers all working together, it's like, man, we could do anything. all right, so now on to my two updates. Footlog Park, unfortunately, I couldn't come up with a construction cost estimate for you all to consider this evening. The Pelsa is the engineer who's doing the survey down there. They're getting elevation points. They didn't get enough elevation points for our design engineer to finalize the construction plan. So that should be on the next meeting's agenda. And then lastly, yeah, I see that.
But on that, just with Pelsa and Footlog, is that Coastal wanted some additional information.
Right.
So there's been communication back between Coastal, the designers, and the surveyors.
Yep.
And so the surveyor had to go back and kind of gather some additional information, which is, so we're moving forward, but that's just why we're not here for a final on that today.
Yeah, because the idea is really to get that construction cost estimate, knowing that we're leaning that way to have an outfit constructed for us. It really needs to be as accurate as possible. And that elevation information is critical for that project area. So what do you want me to say about the watershed master plan? Just that we're doing it, or?
Just that the RFP went
out. Well, the RFP did go out last Friday. We're going to have a pre-bid meeting tomorrow for interested engineering firms. Hopefully we have lots of them interested to ask us questions about our vision of doing this assessment, coming up with some priority project design. So that's moving along. On a sort of a Debbie Downer note, our trash contractor who I was negotiating with this past week, they actually just told me today that they don't want to continue any longer. I think my demands about, hey, you need to be accountable for missing trash, and pick up overflow when it happens, they didn't want to negotiate anymore. And they told me that, let's pick a date when it's going to be our last day. And tentatively, that would be Monday, August 22nd. So that puts us on the clock. I called Trash Tech, who was the other low responsible bidder on our RFP, and just to see if they can come on board, but I don't know yet. We're up in the air. And
so that'll be on the next agenda.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, if I can tell you, if Trash Tech can't accommodate us, then we may have to do another RFP. I hate to say it, but maybe we need more contractors to consider. But just wanted to give you all that update. Unfortunately, not very good news, but
yeah.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay.
Mr. Taylor, you have anything? All right, Ms. Audrey, you're up. Do you have public comment?
I'd like to thank you for cleaning up the trash. I cleaned out the ditch. The weeds were growing so badly, and that's when I did in my arms and fell on my head. So I rushed out and told Brian, I really, really, really need a lot of help with the drain on our property. And then we went to restore the corn crib that the water is knocking down and falling down. And then also the drainage has already destroyed many of the historical buildings on our
our land, the barn, the horse carriage, the big pen, and all those buildings, the foundations were there, which we had planned to restore, and they're all washed away. So it's about 2 feet deep now. Plus, it drains right straight into our house. And the water flows right down our basement steps. I could get up to my knees in the basement in a typical storm. So I was just asking for help with.
And what Audrey and I were talking about is, you know, there may be situations, but water flows where it wants to. There may be some situations where on private property, if we can enter into perhaps some kind of a maintenance agreement, you know, maybe a stormwater easement needs to be placed there in some kind of project, whether it be a swale or pipes or something else.
Rain, every time it rains, the water flows from the corner.
The road, the road, yeah, and cars splash all night long. You can hear them, and some of them actually swerve to miss the water and hit the other side of the street. It's just a mess. We need to do something. And like earlier tonight, we were talking about swales along roads. We're trying to keep the water in the swales and not on the roads, but sometimes we need to do more. And that involves, even if it's a mini detention basin, something that's going to store water.
And it is one of the oldest houses in town. And I might add, tonight with the construction things that Minotaur Museum is very, very interested in, they're coming and they're writing a book for us. And that will be published. And,
Ms. Pamela?
I wasn't really prepared for this evening, but the stormwater is a very huge problem. I spoke about it last year. My father spoke about it 10 years ago. It has been ongoing for a very long time. Jack, I believe, has spoken about it because adjacent to our property is Jack's. And I think he has quoted, and I'm not 100% sure, but you know, the land has sunk because the water at least 8 feet. Andy has complained numerous times about the water, and I know my husband on the line has also complained because he takes pictures and brings them to town hall every time it rains. And Audrey's driveway last summer washed out in the middle of Market Street, and who fixes that when it rains? And it is a problem, and we don't know what to do. We really just don't know what to do. And if it's something that we need to get a private contractor to repair, so we have a yard, and we have the Red Lion reserved for history, for everyone else, for generations to come. What do we need to do to fix this problem? Because we've relied and asked the town for 10 years, and nobody's doing anything. So do we need to do it as private individuals to preserve the town and our property? And if so, is there a recommendation of who you would suggest for us to do that? What do? We're lost.
Well, stormwater management,
I know
is a problem all over this town. You could go to any part of town and you'll hear the same complaints. And we know that there is the one that comes across, and I don't know when that was installed, that pipe that goes through the Thompson yard and he's out.
Yep.
And that we have talked about
redirecting
that, but we're, you know, I know nobody wants to say hold on and wait. I mean, we put out this RFP, and I know Brian and they have been working on that to create a comprehensive plan, because you know, you take water and you shift it in one direction, it's going to go to somebody else's. And I know I still like our one plan that we've come up with in the past that would directly impact yours, is taking the water, shifting it down to the athletic field and using the swales that are already naturally there to check the water along the way and carry it out. So, I mean, we've had a few big rains, but it hasn't been like it was last year or the year before. I mean, it was crazy.
Right.
But we are working on it. We are. I know it may not seem like it, but this board is
making an omission to make it happen.
Okay, well, I'm just adding more to it.
Absolutely, and we hear you.
Well, I have split a fortune on my house just this past year, simply because of water. And we unfortunately removed a cobblestone floors in the basement and drain pipes and three pumps to pump water out and everything. And put a brick floor in with all the water flow control, which is not enough. So that's it. Thank you.
All right, Miss Ursula.
I have one more comment.
Oh, Miss Pamela.
One more thing. Do we have any influence on the firehouse to get new flags? They are tattered and torn.
I can talk to Pumpkin and see about getting new flags.
I don't know if anybody's noticed them, but we should.
I'll text them tonight.
Long Point flag still bound up.
So it's funny you mentioned that, because our Long Point flag was tied up over the weekend, and it made me do research. You know, I know how important the American flag is, and you know, what are you supposed to take it down in inclement weather, you know, so it doesn't get all beat up and tattered? And no, it's supposed to be out there and be tough and handle all kinds of, but I think once it's tattered, you got to replace it.
But it's still getting hung up on that.
Yeah. And we did get it. We finagled, played with it, and it's free. Right now. All right, Miss Ursula.
I'm like broken record. Don't change me. What's going on with the Airbnbs? Anything? As far as the tax or rental tax or identity charge or lodging tax? Where are we?
Yeah.
The last that we had reached out to the county. But to answer your question, no, I don't think anything's happened here in the last.
Except reaching out to the county again.
A couple months.
I
meant to talk to the county exec about it, but right. I'm still not, to be honest, I haven't done sufficient research on it yet. And I know we've been reaching out to the county and talking to the county, but I'm still not so sure that we need to go to the county.
Right. We may be able to do it ourselves.
7%, the county charges 6%.
That's right.
Some woman told me, and if it's correct, part of that is supposed to come to the county. But the problem they can't find.
But I think that we have our own taxing authority that we
could also charge a rental tax.
So,
a rental tax. Which is, that's exactly what they're doing. They're renting. They have a business. It could be a rental tax. And that rental tax could also apply to rentals. Town of Perryville had it. We had an apartment building. It was $60. You have to register your building. And in that comes a lot of other things that would fall into place. Do you have smoke detectors? Do you have egress and exit? You know, all the stuff that goes along with it. How many VRBOs do we have in town? I think we're up to about seven. At least seven. They keep popping left and right. I mean, somebody gets a building and I'm going to have a VRBO. And I think we're missing the boat. I've said it before, and I keep saying it. I will continue to say it, but I think we need to do the research. If you'd like me to do it, I'd be happy to go further with it. Just tell me where to go. I'd be happy to. I've called the county. I've talked to people in Harford County.
Call the Cecil County Finance Director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's. I think
that's. Is that who you talked
to? Somebody in that office, yes.
Maybe
he
ask.
Told me that it was a 6% lodging tax from the county.
Just ask.
7% from the state.
I honestly think the question is just, to the county's knowledge, can the town move forward with its own rate structure?
I think that's a decision for us to make unilaterally without necessarily the county involvement.
We might
reach out with MML.
We didn't get a very good answer from them.
I have no problem with these units. I think it's wonderful because they've certainly improved the appearance of a lot of buildings. And what's happening is they're bringing people into town, which is good for us, which we could be building on. We're getting mostly it's summer because of the river, and that's why they're there. So I think it's to our advantage, but we're missing the boat on the other side of the coin. Don't let it just slide by. It would be like if somebody opened a business, you would have a business tax, okay? So That's just my opinion. And I'll bring it up again, or I will follow up with whatever I need to do.
I think it's something that members of the board maybe are interested in considering, you know. But obviously, I mean, we do have a lot going on. And,
I know that.
And that just hasn't come to the full focus yet, because we're still kind of in the research phase on it. And we're not, you know, like stormwater management, we're not doing perhaps research quick enough. But we've got, you know.
I understand a lot of people.
But it's coming.
A lot of people's feelings are it's somebody's business or whatever they're doing with their house is what they get doing. But when you're impacting with more people coming into town and using our facilities. I'll go on to Foothill Park with the traffic that's coming up and down Baltimore Street. And I brought this up before and I will expound on it. We need a town trash can where the lane starts before you go down to the beach. You can put that same trash can at the end of Colonial and the end of Tasker. Because people come up from the beach, they don't all come across the bridge. They come down the street. They bring their refuge with them. They dump it in the trash can. The can that is there now was a can that Thelma put out. Put a chain. It's a little metal can. Prosper emptied it the other day. He empties it every week, puts it in our can, so the trash bed will take it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was packed full. And on top of that, I think another doggy station wouldn't be in play too, because the number of people that bring their dogs to the beach, they don't necessarily go across the bridge, they come back up again. It would be nice for them to have their little bag and be able to dispose.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a cost factor, but it helps with the cleanliness of the beach, it helps with the walkways being clean. And again, we have a lot more people traveling, walking these streets, especially in the summer. So that's one item that I have. As far as the foot log, and I guess it's my own particular thing. Signage, you have signage at the other parks? We need a little more signage at foot log. Swim at your own risk, whatever. Kids go out there and it's very shallow, but it can drop. Dogs. Whatever else that you could want to put on there after dark. And I think you do have a dawn to dust thing.
Mm.
But and then along the rocks, and I think I brought this up before, the town needs to use clean trim along the rocks because the bushing is growing up along the rocks. So there's one particular area where we now have a tree that's probably taller than I am. And as that tree gets bigger, its trunk gets bigger, and it's going to push the rocks and make them move, and then you've lost some of the revetment that you put there. So that needs to be cut out. What's the story on the tree that has got the ash borers? Is that coming down?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's that.
It is.
Yeah, that tree is. It's when we had Bartlett tree experts look at it about a month or two ago. It's too far gone. It can't be injected with that chemical to try to stave off that. Emerald ash borer. We were thinking the fall. I mean, that's going to be a big job.
Are you taking the stump out too?
You know, one thing that remember Steve Kramer was talking to residents around there, try to raise some funds for treating the tree.
He did that.
I know. He did a great job.
He
really did. And then the conversation turned to, well, is there something maybe commemorative that could be done with that trunk, you know, a sculpture? And we haven't really, you know, explored it much further.
Well, you have those lovely tables at Sand Beach or whatever you call that place, Dead End Beach, Sand Beach. You could use the stuff and make some kind of nice table. Somebody could put a tabletop on it, treated wood and ground, and just the table, you know, just a table that people could set things. And again, another trash can to eat, but still, it,
a good idea
for that
table.
Plus, planting another tree, which you need to do. I think I've covered it all. I covered it all. Thank you.
Thank you,
Prosper.
I'm going to pass. I think Earth would
Good thing you said.
She always does. Sir?
Yeah. This is the first time that I've attended. I think I've done one virtual. So we're new within the last 2 years, Charlestown.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of implanted here. We did put in contract and going to closing on the house that we're renting. And the house is B438 Frederick.
The one that we were talking about piping the...
Yeah. So before I make any other comment, I couldn't understand. You had three issues.
Mm-hmm.
Is 438 Frederick a go or a re?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I think last year that I commented email to the town about pictures. We're getting hit. You know, you guys know we're getting hit three different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Around the corner, through our yard from the back,
yep.
And whatever. What concerned me the worst was when you talked about earlier about the erosion of the street.
Mm-hmm.
That would be more concerning to me, because if that eroded, I think you would have more of a issue of $9,000 on your hands or whatever mm-hmm. the cost was. Because you have public works and people that could never get in or out of the house. We don't have any problems with the flooding as the other folks here, but the land, the two parcels, the land over time, you can see the erosion that's come with it. So we have to do something on our end with our backyard to put some kind of drain that goes toward the ditch, because okay. it's lays for days. So the only concerning factor to me is there was a lot of conversations with it saying we know about it, we're looking into it. It was supposed to start in the spring, now we're in the middle of summer. Okay, I get it. I think things are happening. They came out last week and marked the electric and so forth. But really concerned me is I watched a skate park being erected for a month every day when we have this problem. That really didn't sit well with me. I mean, what can I do about it? But that's what I observed.
That was done by all volunteers. They don't work for the town.
There was town personnel.
I'm sure there was. I don't know about a whole month, but I'm sure there was some town staff helping me.
It was quite a while. But, I mean, that's perception.
Okay.
Like I said, the water is not invading the house, but the erosion of the street would be more of a headache. You would have people that would not be able to get in and out of the house. You got the water treatment plant that wouldn't be accessible. You know, if the road did wash out, which you can go down and look at it, it's quite bad.
And Mr. Hubbard, you know, part of the solution process involves our maintenance staff looking at things like this, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to understand it and think and make a decision. Is this something we can handle, or do we need to go, you know, explore hiring someone else? So I know that was part of the exploration
and the
process.
Plan changed since they
first right.
So
I don't know if
it's happening.
I don't know if you know. We are in the process of looking at the entire town because it is an issue, and some of the issues are streets have been paved and paved and paved, and it's not pushing the water where it needs to be. It's not pushing it off under people's houses or where. So this is part of what we're looking at right now, to have more of a comprehensive plan for the entire town and thinking of the future, because storms are getting stronger. And when outside of our town, they're cutting down the trees, that water's mm-hmm. coming here. I don't want to be like Ellicott City. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want you to know that this is a big thing. I know what you're going through. I live at one of the lower ends of town.
I live at the last street of town, and it's at the bottom. So I watch the Mississippi River coming through. I have a ditch in the back of my yard that is now two and a half feet deep, and it's not deep enough. So I get it. So I want you to know that I have empathy for you and for you. So I'm trying to get this moving as fast as we can, but we are moving forward. This board is for getting this to move forward. Okay.
And it's what's also nice is that with the ARPA money that we just received last year or this year, as well as we actually have some money we can actually, you know, put at these problems. So, and not just a little bit of money, but a lot of money in it. But design, you know, design and assessing the factors, those take time and expertise.
Because that's one of the things that we've talked about over the past month, 2 months is, we don't want to do little band-aids, because if we fix this little spot, it's moving the water over here. Then we got to fix this little spot. So it needs to be a more of a comprehensive plan to make sure that the water is going where it needs to be. So I love the fact that people are coming, and I know that we're going to be putting out, we'd love to, I want to see the picture so that it goes in with our reports. We're going to be having public comments about things. So
yeah, really the surveys that have gone out, we've been getting them back from some folks. And Mr. Hubbard, I mean, your unique system, you know, it's important to know about what you want to do something in the rear of your yard, which is going to come down into that swale perpendicular at Frederick Street, which is going to feed that swale where we're about to put a pipe. I mean, so it's just communicating with each other and saying, hey, here's what I'm seeing, here's what I'm doing. I think it'll give us better opportunity to come up with better solutions.
So you're going to be going forward with the pipe from. So we got two issues. We got the pipe on the pole barn.
Yep.
Side.
Yep.
And then you're going to continue that pipe all the way down.
So no, there's the 18-inch pipe right there at the culvert, basically to the pole barn driveway, right?
Yep.
That'll be replaced. And then there's going to be an open ditch about 50 feet wide from that pipe down to another pipe, which will go the next 60 feet down to that culvert going under Frederick.
Okay.
So where your swale is going to tie in is going to be open there. Okay. The T is going to remain
open.
You're
just going to redo the ditch then?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Robert.
Yep.
All right. Miss Pauline, we're ready for you.
I want to thank you, Brian, for taking care of the church as quickly as you have. It's very much appreciated, and I want to thank you. I want to tell the commissioners that I complained last year about the water on Market Street outside of 117 that flows over to the Wellwood Club. The town tries sometimes to salt it, and it needs to be taken better care of. The town has been sued before for not taking care of the ice. Now, I have to walk that way with my dog, and I can't walk up Larry's hill because of my hip. And I'd like to know that you're going to take care of that instead of putting, as Robert or Renee says, a Band-Aid on it. So instead of having it all iced all winter.
Ms. Pauline, we did vote to go ahead and remedy that issue tonight.
I so know, but are you going to take care of it, or is it just getting a Band-Aid?
Well, it's going to be taken care of with some swales and piping and blacktop. So the water should not be running across Market Street anymore, which is an issue.
And another thing, I know that Terry is trying to do a good job, and it's a lot better than it was, but it still needs a lot of help. I called Brian the other day because I've been in this town 80 years and have never seen a car drive out from the parking lot of the wharf all the way out to the wooden pier. And then it drove back. And I thought, what idiot from Charlestown did this? But it was from Pennsylvania. They actually, you need to be sure that no car can go out there. And I have a witness in town, so you don't have to take my word. If you need proof, I've got a witness in town that saw it also. But thank you again. for trying to take care of that water. And thank you, Brian, for the church.
Thank you, Ms. Foley.
Can we put a barricade down there,
Brian? Maybe yellow bollards, one or two now. Rock, some rocks,
wood, brown,
not rocks, big, yeah,
something brown, not big, great.
I mean, it was not right. I can absolutely see a car now at the wood part of the wood, the pier. They were a little bit older, but they knew we were watching them, so they speeded up the go.
Okay.
Thanks, Pauline.
That one's me.
I've never heard of that.
I'm telling you, I couldn't.
Richard, do you have anything for public comment?
Yes. I'd like to commend the commissioners and congratulate them on moving forward on plans for a town hall. I think that's great news and fabulous. And then I want to just follow up on a bit that Audrey and Pamela were talking about. And just to put it into context, it was two summers ago when people from the town came and walked our property to see how the water flowed from the Thompson property onto the Edwards property and then on to Market Street. That was two summers ago. Nothing's happened in the interim. Pamela was correct in saying there was a letter to the town dated about 10 years ago from Ron to the town talking about the issues. And at the time, his choice was, because the town didn't do anything, was his choice was to sue the town or not. He chose not to. I might not be quite so benevolent going forward if nothing happens on this watershed, because and I'm also not as anxious. I don't want to make my wife angry, but I'm not anxious with the or interested in the idea that we fund some project that only benefits our property, because water will still be coming from the Thompson property. So I would just encourage the town, and I know I've been listening, that the plan is coming, but urgent work needs to be done across that property, particularly since Charlestown calls itself Historic Charlestown, and the water running across the property is starting to undermine one of the historic houses in town. So I would encourage you to move quickly and efficiently and try to get something done.
Thank you, Richard. Anything else, Richard?
Nope.
Thank you.
All right, Jamie, do you have anything?
No comment.
Steve and Thelma?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I just wanted to thank you, Brian, for the update on the shore erosion down on Bladen or Footlow Park and going forward and coming up with some really good ideas, it sounds like. I didn't know as far as stormwater management if a swale at the end of Baltimore was still a consideration, or that's something that has to wait until the other project you talked about to block the waves from coming in, which probably won't be for a few years, because that water is going to wash on your new project. The erosion's coming from behind also.
Thelma, I can tell you, we were successful getting a grant from the county to pay in the amount of $5,000 to help to pay for the design of that swale. So we can certainly do that at the same time. We have that design engineer on board to do just that. The survey is going to be useful in that area as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. And along the stormwater, the sidewalks to the school, to the elementary school, I think the state came out and a year ago maybe and looked at that area. I think you guys are going to try to get the state to do something. I didn't know where that ended up. You know, how the water washes all the dirt and everything over the sidewalk, and people have to walk in the road. The kids, people, dogs, whatever, has to walk in the road.
Yeah, You're right. I followed up with the maintenance staff for State Highway Administration about that. The best solution that they could come up with kind of short term was to dig a swale on the low end side of that sidewalk so that debris wouldn't pile up on the sidewalk like that. I can tell you at the same time, we were successful getting the technical assistance from Will Mapka. We're about ready to start on a walkability study for that section of town, right from the core historic district up to the elementary school. So we'll be focusing some more attention, I'd say, on the, you know, medium to the long term.
And you're right, Donna, that that part of that plan is they were waiting on us to get our sustainable action plan together and to pass that on to them as well, which we just approved, I believe, at the last meeting. So, but you're right, it's we do need to reach back out to them now that they have that. Did we get that to them yet? Mm-hmm. Okay, so to keep pushing that along, because that is a very, very important project as well, as we, because it ties all in with the stormwater management as well. So, and lighting and sidewalks and everything else that we want to do in town. So thank you for
being here. Okay, thank you. That's good stuff. And I have a question about the noise ordinance. We talked about that at different meetings, and I think the town, I don't know if you guys upped it or changed it yet. I know you were talking about changing it because of the like professional fireworks that are going off almost center town. I know I've heard some veterans talk about how it's disturbing out in their neighborhood. I don't know if, does Cecil County Police know that we increased that to include those loud fireworks? Because I called the county, they don't come out. And it was really bad, not just holidays. It's not just holidays where you actually have ash on your deck and windowsills because it's that close. So I don't know, like, am I in the right to say that's not allowed? And the cops, unless they hear, I think, from the town that, hey, this is our ordinance, you might get calls. I don't think that, you know, they're not
going to
come out.
I don't know the state law, but I think it's unlawful to be discharging a lot of those fireworks without a permit. So I would suggest to you that, again, if you see it occurring, that you continue to call the sheriff's department and let them know and lodge a complaint. But we did pass that noise ordinance several meetings ago. And, you know, And certainly the town doesn't condone the fireworks either, but a lot of times from an enforcement provision, we do need the sheriff's office to come in and lower the boom.
We can certainly share the ordinance with the sheriff's office.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful.
It's not just the sound. I mean, it's the law to do it otherwise.
Yeah, and I think hearing it from you guys would be a big help, because just hearing it from me or the neighbors or whatever. And actually, when it was right in front of us, I mean, it was still on town property, but it was right in front of us. You know, we asked them to please take it somewhere else, and they got pretty ignorant with us. So that's when that's one of the times we called the county. So if you could let the county know, that would be awesome. And thank you for everything else you guys are doing and taking care of our town and people. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Just to interject, though, that side and the footlock, that's where the others could go out there.
No fireworks?
Yeah, put it on the side. The side.
Or open fires.
Hmm?
Or open fires.
Yes, without permits. Go ahead.
I've seen that as well.
Mm-hmm. Permits required.
Beach fires.
Yeah, the beach fires don't seem to be like going on as much, I don't think. And if they are, we usually say something to them and they put them out. At least here in Footlog.
It's usually local people with the fires, but the fireworks are out of towners.
Yeah, the fireworks were just really, really bad. Just any day of the week, doesn't have to be a holiday. And I know I sound, you know, it's like I'm medicating my dogs like crazy, and I hate doing that, but, you know, they're trying to crawl up the wall. And I'm not kidding. They're actually trying to crawl up the wall. And then, too, the veterans, I feel bad for them. Okay, so I ran on enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, that's fine, Dema. I get a call at least once every weekend in reference to fireworks, so don't feel bad. And I have made the sheriff's office aware that we do not want to tolerate them anymore. And please, for the residents, if you're listening, it's not just animals, but there are many veterans around here that suffer from PTSD, and the fireworks send them into a frenzy. So please have some compassion.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Last but not least is Miss Robin. You have anything for public comment this evening?
Brian, no comment. Thank you.
That's it. Well, if that's the case, I'll entertain a motion. Second.
I'll second it.
And we have a second. All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
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 Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, all the virtual world.
Thank you.
All the residents here.
Good night.
Good night.